nation. That they want to feel that they're part of the process somehow. And in a certain level, yes, we are, but we accept it as a gift. You know, we really don't deserve salvation, and yet God offers it to us in the sacrifice of his son. But people want to be able to say, I somehow deserve this. I did something in this. I didn't hear this phrase being said at Erica's service on Friday, but how many times have I been to a funeral service and you've probably heard these phrases yourself? Oh, he or she was such a good person, they must be in heaven. Or someone would say, if he didn't get to heaven, I don't know who would, because he was such a good person. See, that's a problem with the salvation that God has provided. It's free. We don't want something that we have not worked for. It seems that we want to be able to say that we have done something about how we got to where we are. Years ago, apparently the Betty Crocker Company first began selling their cake mixes. Now, I'm not a cook or a baker, so I just go this by information that was given to me. They offered a product that only needed water to be added to the mix, apparently. All you had to do was to add water to the mix in the box, and you could get a perfect, delicious cake every time. It bombed. No one bought it, and the company couldn't understand why. So they commissioned a study which brought back a surprising answer. It seemed that people weren't buying the cake mix because it was too easy. They wanted something to do in the process. They didn't want to be totally excluded from the work of preparing a cake. They wanted to feel that they had contributed something to the process. So Betty Crocker changed the formula and required the customer, get this, to add an egg in addition to the water. Now, some of you have used Betty Crocker products, and I have not. This required the customer just to add that one part. Immediately, the new cake mix was a huge success. Now, you who use Betty Crocker or any of the other mixes that you can buy in the store, you can tell me whether maybe there's more to the process than just the water and the egg. I don't know. But this is, people want to be involved in it. They want it to be able to feel that they're part of the process, they're part of what is happening here. And here is a life cake mix where everything is done for you. Here is salvation where everything is done for you. I remember a speaker at the Banff Pastors Conference talking about how when he had been a pastor, there was a man that became involved with the men of the church, a part of the men's group, I guess. It became very clear rather quickly that this man lived with better morals than the men from the church professed to live by. He was a very moral living person. The speaker talked about how hard it was to convince this new member of the group that he needed the Savior. How hard it is for those who live a rather moral life to realize that they actually need a Savior. It almost seemed to me that the speaker believed that that man, that new man in the congregation, was so good it was almost unnecessary for Christ to die for him. I listened to this report and my head was spinning. I thought, is this really what you're saying? Because actually, we need to come to the place where we absolutely know that we need the Savior. We need Jesus in our lives. That's not to say there aren't a lot of moral living people as our neighbors, and they do lots of good things. I'm not going against that at all. But I'm simply saying, We need to come to the place where we absolutely know that we require a Savior. And this notion can be a very damaging thing, I believe. It's very sad. Let me tell you about the experience that I had when my sister died. My sister Bernice died on April 10th, 1970. I've been very close to my sister. I sometimes thought that my sister, she was 12 years older than I, the only girl in the family. First came my sister and then four boys. In any case, I sometimes thought that my sister had almost as much to do with my upbringing as my own mother did. That's not to say my mother was not a good mother. She certainly was a good mother. But my older sister, my sister 12 years older than I think had a lot to do with how I turned out. My mother certainly was a good mother, but my sister was there often challenging me about decisions I made as a teenager. And I was actually quite close to my sister. I always thought that of the four boys in our family, like I said, there's four boys and one girl, I looked more like my sister. Now, she was a girl and I was a boy, so just, I used to have dark hair. There was a time when I had dark hair, and so did she. In fact, can I just do an aside? You're going to say, I cared for my sister more than almost anyone until I met my wife, of course. Sometimes, and I know later on it wasn't that much of a compliment, sometimes people would say that my sister looked like Jackie Kennedy. And in a sense, they looked a little bit alike, but I know later on maybe that wasn't that much of a compliment. I'm not sure. Okay, just to sort of continue on this. Interestingly, my father would sometimes introduce the family this way. He'd say, "We have five children. They're all girls except four." It made people think about what he was saying. And of course, he was very, very proud of his daughter. And I was proud of my sister. And my sister and I both had the dark hair that our dad had, looked more like dad. And the other three brothers, they looked more like our mom. And so just to give you that connection. Very long story, just to tell you that I took it very hard when my sister died. I remember going for long walks out in the countryside. I would go far out of town so the people would not hear me when I cried to God about the loss I was experiencing. And you know what? There are still times, even though it's so many, many, many years ago, my heart wants to still break because I miss my sister. Now, other members of my family felt the loss of my sister very clearly as well, but somehow it seemed to me that God had kind of abandoned me. Of course, he had not. But to a teenager trying to deal with this loss, it seemed that God was very far away. I was trying to follow God. My plan was to become a missionary. Well, I've been a missionary in Canada. I never did serve as a missionary overseas. I just recently gone through a time of rejecting God in my life and just come back to following God once again. So I could not quite understand why it seemed that God would take one of the most important stabilizers in my life from me. I had just graduated from high school. Okay, I need to explain this a little bit. I was kind of a late bloomer. If you can believe it, I graduated from high school when I was 20 years old. I know, you're supposed to be 17 or 18 when you graduate from high school. Well, it so happened, I repeated a few grades. Nowadays, I don't know if kids have to repeat a grade ever. I repeated grade 3 and I repeated grade 7. So I was a little bit behind. And then after grade 9, when my parents believed that probably I wasn't going to do much in academics, so then I should maybe take up dad's trade. Dad was an electrician, and so I worked for a year with him because I didn't have to legally stay in school anymore. I was of that age. But I was bound and determined to finish school. So then after that year of working with my dad, I went back to school. And I was one of the oldest students, just a regular school. It wasn't, you know, adult education, upgrading to get your high school diploma or anything like that. Anyway, I still wanted to be a missionary, given all of that. And after graduating from high school, if I had known of any mission board that would have accepted me as a missionary without even 1 hour of formal Bible school or Bible college or seminary training, I would have signed up in a moment. But somehow I had the idea that, well, you know what, maybe I should at least have 1 year of Bible school. So I went off to Barkas Bible Institute, as it was called then, and I went to school there, and, well, the rest is history. Getting back to my story of losing my sister, I somehow had the idea that I was not quite good enough because God had taken my sister away. There's something I needed to do for God to actually accept me. So, given all that long preamble, let's consider this matter of the fact that salvation is free. Galatians 3 verse 3 says, "Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" Think of what God has done for you. He had his son Jesus mocked, flogged, crucified. And we want something that we have done, as if there's anything we can add to that. So, first of all, the fact that Jesus was betrayed. We know that story. And people somehow feel they have to do something. Consider this. And you know what? It might even be that we'll end with this rather lengthy illustration. It's called the matchless pearl. A heavy splash was followed by many ripples. And then the water below the pier was still. An American crouched on the low Indian pier in India, his eyes riveted on the place where a stream of little bubbles rose to the surface from deep under the water. In a moment, a black head appeared and a pair of bright eyes looked up. Then the old Indian pearl diver was clambering onto the dock, grinning and shaking the water from his shiny, oily body. "As nice a dive as I've ever seen, Rambo," cried David Morris, the American missionary. "Look at this one, Sahib," said Rambo, taking a big oyster from between his teeth. "I think it'll be good." "Rambo, look," explained Morris. "Why, it's a treasure." "Oh, yes, but there are better pearls, much better. Why, I have one." His voice trailed off. "See this one? The imperfections? The black speck here, this tiny dent, even in shape? It is a bit oblong, but good enough as pearls go." "Your eye is too sharp for your own good, friend," lamented Morris. "I would never ask for a more perfect pearl." "It is just as you say of your God," this Indian pearl diver would say. "To themselves, people look perfect, but God sees them as they actually are." Two men started down the dusty road to the town. "You're right, Rambo. And God offers perfect righteousness to all who will simply believe and accept his free gift offer of salvation. He says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 6:23. "Can't you see that, my friend?" "No, Sahib. As so many times before I've told you, it's not easy. That's where your good religion breaks down. I cannot accept that. Perhaps I'm too proud. I must work for my place in heaven, or I would always be uncomfortable. Oh, Rambo! Behind the missionary's words were years of prayer for this man. You're getting older now. Perhaps this is your last season of diving for pearls. If you ever want to see heaven's gates of pearl, you must accept the new life God offers you in His Son. My last season. Yes, you're right. Today was my last day of diving. This is the last month of the year, and I have preparations to make. You should be making preparations for the life to come, the missionary said. That's just what I'm going to do. The first day of the new year, I begin my pilgrimage. All my life, I have planned it. I shall make sure of heaven this time. I'm going to Delhi on my knees. No, never. It's 900 miles to Delhi. The skin will break on your knees and you'll have blood poisoning or leprosy before you get to Bombay. But I must get to Delhi. And then the immortals will reward me. The suffering will be sweet, for it will purchase heaven for me. Rambo, my friend, you can't. How can I let you do this when Jesus Christ has died to purchase heaven for you? But the old man could not be moved. On the afternoon of Christmas Day, Morris answered a knock at the door to find Rambo there. My good friend, cried Morris. Come in, Rambo. No, said the pearl diver. I want you to come with me to my house, Ahib, for a short time. I have something to show you. Please do not say no. The heart of the missionary leaped. Perhaps God was answering his prayer at last. Of course I'll come, he said. I'll leave for Delhi just 1 week from today, you know, said Rambo, as they neared his house 10 minutes later. The missionary's heart sank. Inside, Morris was ushered to seat his friend had built especially for him. Rambo left the room to return soon with a small but heavy English strongbox. I've had this box for years, he said. Keep only one thing in it. Now I will tell you about it, Sayyid Morris. I once had a son. A son? Why, Rambo, you have never said a word about him. No, Sayyid, I couldn't. Even as he spoke, the diver's eyes moistened. Now I must tell you, for soon I will leave, and who knows whether I shall ever return. My son was a diver too. He was the best pearl diver on the coast of India. He had the swiftest dive, the keenest eye, the strongest arm, the longest breath of any man who sought for pearls. What joy he brought to me. He always dreamed of finding a pearl beyond all that had ever been found. One day, he found it. But when he saw it, he had already been underwater too long. He lost his life soon after. The old pearl diver bowed his head for a moment. All these years I have kept the pearl, he continued. But now I'm going, not to return. I know that this is a day among Christians for the giving of gifts. And to you, my best friend, I'm giving my pearl. The old man worked the combination on the strong box and drew from it a carefully wrapped package. Gently opening the cotton, he picked up a mammoth pearl and placed it in the hand of the missionary. It was one of the largest pearls ever found off the coast of India, and it glowed with a luster and brilliance never seen in cultured pearls. It would have brought a fabulous sum in any market. For a moment, the missionary was speechless and gazed with awe. Rambo, what a pearl! That pearl, Sahib, is perfect, replied the Indian quietly. Rambo, he said, this is a wonderful pearl, an amazing pearl. Let me buy it. I would give you $10,000 for it, or if it takes more, I will work for it. Sahib, said Rambo, stiffening his whole body, this pearl is beyond price. No man in all the world has money enough to say what this pearl is worth to me. I will not sell it to you. You may have it only as a gift. No, Rambo, I cannot accept that. As much as I want the pearl, I cannot accept it that way. Perhaps I'm proud. But that is too easy. I must pay for it or work for it. The old pearl diver was stunned. You don't understand, Sahib. Don't you see? My only son gave his life to get this pearl, and I wouldn't sell it for any money. It's worth as in the lifeblood of my son. I cannot sell this, but I can give it to you. Just accept it in token of the love I bear you. The missionary was choked and for a moment could not speak. Then he gripped the hand of the old man. Rambu, he said in a low voice, don't you see? That is just what you've been saying to God. The diver looked long and searchingly at the missionary, and slowly, slowly he began to understand. God is offering you everlasting life as a free gift. It's so great and priceless that no man on earth could buy it. No man on earth could earn it. His life would be millions of years too short. No man is good enough to deserve it. It cost God the lifeblood of his only son to make the entrance for you into heaven. In a million years, in 100 pilgrimages, you could not earn that entrance. All you can do is to accept it as a token of God's love for you, a sinner. Rambu, won't you accept God's great gift of eternal life in deep humility, knowing it cost him the death of his son to offer it to you? Sahib, I see it now. I believed in the doctrine of Jesus for 2 years, but I could not believe that his salvation was free. Now I understand. Some things are too priceless to be bought or earned. Sahib, I will accept his salvation. What did God offer to us? He offered salvation that we couldn't work for. That cost him the lifeblood of his son. We will not go through the points that I actually arranged to talk about. Simply to say, if we can quickly go way deep into our PowerPoint, I think you probably can find the screen that I require right now. It's probably the one called The Story of the Peace Child, if you can go there. Because, yes, we could consider how Jesus was betrayed, how he was tortured, how he was crucified. We could talk about all of those things. And that is the truth of the matter. But the point is that salvation is free. It cannot be earned, not deserved. We need to accept it as a gift. I just want to close with this. Some of you have read the story called The Peace Child. It has to do with Don and Carol Richardson, who worked with the Sahwi people in Erenyawa, where they discovered the concept of the redemptive analogy. The idea that there's something in every culture that helps missionaries or others to explain salvation. Much like that pearl diver needed to understand that God had offered his son for the salvation of the world, so Don and Carol Richardson needed to have an understanding of how they could explain to the people that they were working with about how salvation was offered to them as a free gift. See, the culture they worked with were a culture where people believed that if you could betray someone the best, he was a hero. When Don Richardson explained the story of Jesus and the disciples and all that, they thought Judas was a hero because he was the one who could take Jesus in, and Jesus got betrayed, and they thought Judas was a hero. And Don Richardson tried to explain to the people, no, Jesus offered his life for you. Then one day, as there were often skirmishes and wars between these villages, what they would do is, perhaps if someone went down the river to the next village, and the people would say, come on in, come and be with us. And here's a hut. They would offer him a wife from the village and say, here. And the man would say, well, you know what? These people trust me. I'm part of these people. And they would be at the campfire at night and whatever stories they might have to tell. And all of a sudden, the man looked around and he saw the faces of this new tribe that he thought had accepted him. The faces were changing. He recognized that just before a spear was thrust into his heart. See, that the person that could take someone in the best in that culture was the hero. And Don Richardson couldn't understand, how was he going to get them to understand about free gift of salvation? So then one day he found out how he was going to do that. Because when they would have wars, these villages, one with another, the only way the one village would convince the other village that they really intended to have peace was with the offering of a peace child. And that was when the chief of one tribe would offer his own son to the chief of the other tribe. And then they knew they were not trying to kind of manipulate things and get trust that was later on would not actually be a real peace. And then Don Richardson realized, this is how I can explain the gospel. And then he talked to the people about the peace child of heaven that was offered. And you know what? The peace child in their culture was never, ever refused. And the missionary said to the people, this is what God has done for you. So, just think of everything that Jesus has done, prepared salvation for you. I know today has been a day of stories, I guess. And I know I encourage you to look at, we were supposed to have the reading of the scripture. Who was supposed to read that scripture? I'm sorry, Jonathan, I preempted you. I just thought of it now. Sorry about that. But if you look at Matthew 20, verses 17, 18, 19, that's what all of this comes from. Peace child, offered. And offered. The salvation is paid for. It's free. If you do not know the Savior, if you do not know this Jesus, I encourage you to just ask him, as we talked about at communion time, just say those words of trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Offer Jesus as a peace child to come and live in your life. Let's pray. Dear God, I want to thank you and praise you for what you want to do for us. As we think of what it really means to follow you, Dear Lord, I just thank you for the answer of prayer that you have offered to Pastor Norm and his family, and for the answer of prayer of others who are praying a similar kind of prayer. We pray for an answer for them. Just ask, Father, that you would just watch over us, over those who have accepted this peace child today. Dear Lord, I thank you. And I praise you for this free gift of salvation. Amen. Invite the worship team to come forward.